If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Excuse me, I had to get some emergency dark chocolate to wake myself up this morning. Doc, I hope that's allowed, a little dark chocolate once in a while.
Yeah, Bob, we usually like to have that more later in the day than for breakfast, but yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, but you know, when you get up at 3:30 in the morning, it's almost dinner
lunchtime
time right now. Yeah. Dr. Kevin Most is with us. It's our Monday morning house call with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. So much to go over here. First, a couple of stories in the news over the weekend. If you're immune, well, how long would you be immune to this if you've had the virus? Now there's some controversy over that. What's the current thinking on that, Doc?
Yeah, the World Health Organization came out this weekend and said that we may not have immunity from an infection. So immunity, essentially, after you've had the infection once, are you protected from getting it again? For some diseases, you're protected for a very long period of time, say measles. For other infections, like the common cold, which is unfortunately a coronavirus, your protection doesn't last long, and you can get that illness again. The World Health Organization is now looking at cases in China where individuals who had COVID positive appear to be able to get that illness again. So the antibody test that we thought that was great may not be as great as we think it is, just because it'll tell us if you had the illness, but it may not tell us if you're immune or how long your immunity will last.
There's also a story about COVID-19 and how it affects women, how it affects men. Do we have enough information yet to make any kind of determination on that?
Well, we don't. You know, we collect data all the time. It appears that men are infected more than women. And it also appears that men who have high blood pressure or diabetes or are obese are infected even stronger. So we're not sure whether that's a genetic issue of male versus female or whether it's because men have higher comorbidities, have a higher chance of hypertension, have a higher chance for obesity. So whether it is the genetic portion of male versus female, or is it just because they have more comorbidities?
And you mentioned blood pressure. There was also a story about blood pressure medication accelerating the effects of the virus. Have you gotten into that issue at all?
Yep. Oh yeah. So there's a lot of different blood pressure medications. The two that they're the most concerned about are called ACEs and ARBs, and a common ACEs, like I take an ACE, I take lisinopril, but there's captopril and apropril. There's ARBs that are losartan. So those are the two portions of hypertensive medications that appear to be a little bit concerning in people with COVID. So now we're looking at and saying, wait a second, is it the high blood pressure that's our problem, or is it the medication that the individuals are taking for their high blood pressure that's the problem? And that all needs to be sorted out as we get more data.
We've talked here about the immune system and one of the things that affects the immune system, sleep or the lack of it. I was reading more about this over the weekend about adequate sleep, and it's also tied into caffeine. So what's the best recommendation here as far as that goes? Should we be drinking less, not as much coffee, not as much tea anymore? Obviously alcohol isn't great for you, and all those things can destroy sleep quality. So what's the latest on that?
Yeah, they absolutely do. So caffeine is a stimulant and will definitely impact your sleep. We always tell people don't take any caffeinated drinks after about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. If you're going to have coffee after a meal, after dinner, make sure it's decaffeinated. You don't want any stimulant that's going to keep you awake. Alcohol, on the other hand, is a depressant but also makes for our sleep patterns to be bad. We've known for a long, long time the importance of sleep, the importance of sleep for our immune system as well as for our mental health. So really, you got to be very careful helpful, because what our goal is right now is to build our immune system to as strong as possible. Eat properly, get the exercise, and make sure that you get a good night's sleep. And like I tell people, you know, 4 or 5 hours is not a good night's sleep. You know, I tell people 6, 7, 8 hours is what you want. And the days that you have advantage of doing that, please make sure you do it. And don't take any medications or don't take any stimulants that are going to interact and interfere with your sleep patterns.
Okay. Don't remind us again here on the early shift about that, Doc.
I know.
That's a tough one. But when you talk about sleep, when you talk about the lack of sleep, you're talking about various hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, and how that can affect us and affect inflammation, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. We know when the inflammatory system is turned on, you've probably heard in the news about cytokines. You know, when the inflammatory system is turned on, that's not good. We want to decrease inflammation for just about every illness we know. Even heart disease, we know one of the big components of it is inflammation. Asthma, one of the big components of it is inflammation. So we used to think that it used to be spasm that caused our problem with asthma. No, it's inflammation. So really, that's why people look at aspirin and some of the anti-inflammatories as being wonder drugs. Not only do they take down our aches and pains, but they decrease inflammation in our body. That being said, COVID appears that some anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen, it doesn't appreciate, so you got to be a little bit careful there. And most people are telling individuals with pain to take Tylenol instead of ibuprofen at this time.
You mentioned cytokines, and this is the second time I've heard of this lately and never heard about it before. What are cytokines, and how are they affected by sleep or the lack of sleep?
Yeah, they're affected by sleep a little bit. You can see some of the cytokines go up. But essentially, I'll just give you the cliff notes of what a cytokine is so that you can kind of picture of what's going on. And these are proteins that the body makes, and it's essentially the on-off switch for our body for inflammation. So cytokines will say, go for inflammation, or they'll say, okay, stop. So let's say we have an infection, and it turns on the immune system. The immune system is fighting that infection. Once the infection is under control, one of the cytokines is going to go say, hey, we're done. You don't need to fight anymore. Turn down the inflammation. Turn it off. Everything's okay now. The bad thing is that in COVID, we have a couple of different cytokines, one called IL-6. You might have seen the wording for that. That's essentially the messenger that says, hey, keep fighting. We're not done fighting yet. And it comes in such a thing called a cytokine storm, where it sends all of these into the lungs, and now it starts attacking the lung healthy tissue as well as causing more inflammation. And that's where we get the problems with the immune system kind of being put onto overdrive to a point where we're getting inflammation, we're doing damage to the lung tissue, it's causing bleeding, it's causing clotting. So we need to monitor that and see, as we start to see some of these markers going up saying, oh, we're getting close to a cytokine storm, let's block this IL-6 as soon as we can.
Too bad there are no cocktail parties I could go to and really impress people by bringing up cytokines, but maybe soon. Continuing with Dr. Kevin Most, and Doc, what did you think of what Dr. Burke said on Sunday, that we may be practicing social distancing for 18 months now? Is that realistic, do you think?
You know, Bob, I think it is. I think we're going to find that we're not going to get the herd immunity that we had hoped for it by this time. So I think that without the benefit of a vaccine available at this time, I think we're going to still have to be very careful to slow down and make sure we don't have any big spikes, through the fall.
Can you explain herd immunity, what that actually is?
Yeah. So if enough people are protected from an illness, and if one person walks in, let's say we had 100 people in a room, and 95 of them had protection, and 5 of them didn't, and someone walked in with the disease that we were trying to be protective of, the chance of them hitting one of those 5 people and spreading that is very small. It's extremely small. So it decreases the opportunity for that to happen. So although someone has the illness, there's more people around that are protected, so that illness will wane out before they can spread it to others that will spread to others. So our goal is to get as many people immunized. That's why we want, you know, that's how we slow the spread even of influenza on a normal time. That's how we slow the spread of any disease, is that we have enough people that have protection so that it doesn't spread quickly. And that's because the herd is essentially protected.
Got it. There's still a lot of confusion about masks. We are required to wear masks more than ever now in more places. And I know originally we were told this is to protect others from you. But I think people are still confused about that and about how the mask might protect you from somebody else. What do we need to know about masks? Straighten us out here.
So as of Friday, when you're outside, the expectation is that that you will have a mask if you go into a public area. So if you go into a grocery store on Friday, they're going to expect that you wear a mask. The masks that we wear in the hospital when we're taking care of these patients are called N95. Those masks block out 95% of viral particles and bacteria so that we protect the healthcare giver from getting a disease from someone who has it that they're working on. The masks that we're wearing, just the regular facial masks, kind of protect others from you. In other words, if I had the illness and I would cough, it would be caught in that mask mainly. Because there's so many people with potential asymptomatic carriers out there, we want people to wear masks so that they don't spread it asymptomatically. Anybody who has symptoms shouldn't obviously be out in public and should be home quarantined. Masks do protect you a little bit because when you have that mask on, you can't take your hand and touch your nose or touch your mouth. So it does protect you a little bit, but it's not protecting you if someone were to cough, if someone were to have COVID and cough right in your face. That mask is not going to be as protective as the mask that we wear in the hospital.
But wouldn't just a cloth mask or a scarf that the experts all say you should fold like four times, wouldn't that protect you a little bit from something like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It would definitely protect you more than if you had nothing. But we don't want people to have this false sense of security that because I have this mask, I cannot get this illness. That's not the case.
That's exactly what I had over the weekend, wearing a mask everywhere, a false sense of security. Back to the immune system for a minute. We hear a lot about turmeric and ginger compounds that may be boosting immune systems. Do you agree with that? Is that something that we should be adding to foods these days?
Yeah, both of them are great. They both have anti-inflammatory properties, so we talk about bringing down inflammation. You know, ginger also, you know, decreases your risk of diabetes. It's an anti-inflammatory. It helps prevent heart disease. And turmeric is the same. You know, you look at all the anti-inflammatory process and the antioxidants that help us protect from aging as well as decreases our chances for cancer. You know, they're two are very good ones, and the protection that they give us for heart disease is kind of amazing. So, you know, people may not like curry, but that's the yellow coloring in curry that actually is known to be very helpful with heart disease and anti-inflammatory properties.
Okay, we're going to add that to the list of foods to get in the Sarad household. And as the weather starts warming up and people are out and about, and eventually the mosquitoes will be back, and we keep getting this question from listeners, Doc. What about the mosquito season? Is that something that we need to be worried about because there's evidence that the virus is carried that way?
Yeah, no, not for COVID. We obviously need to be concerned about West Nile virus, as we always do in Chicago, but it usually will be later in the summer or early in the fall. But we do not have to be concerned about it being in COVID. COVID is really one that kind of hangs in the lungs more. It will get into the blood, but not into a high number where the transmission would be via a mosquito. So, you know, West Nile is transported pretty much from a bird to a mosquito to a patient. We don't have to be concerned about a mosquito biting somebody that had the illness from a bird. So I wouldn't be overly concerned, but do know that there's other encephalitises and West Nile that we are concerned about with mosquito-borne illnesses.
You're connected with Northwestern Medicine, but I know you talk to colleagues who represent hospitals all over. Are you hearing that we are experiencing a little bit less of a crush? Are the facilities ready now to take on more people? What's the situation?
Yeah, Bob, I'm fortunate to be on a couple calls. We have Dr. Jay Shannon, you know, from IDPH, who updates a group of us chief medical officers from around the state to get our feedback as well as to kind of tell us what's going on. And certainly we're seeing that this is flattening, but not decreasing. So our numbers here at Central DuPage went up a little bit this weekend. So we're not seeing the big decreases yet. And that's pretty much what we're hearing pretty much across the Chicago metro area. Downstate, totally different experience. Their numbers are quite low. And they're the ones that are really kind of chomping at the bit to say, hey, let's open up this economy a little bit more. And I think the governor will look at that and do it on a regional basis based on numbers. But up here, we're still seeing a slight increase. But we're still able to keep patients, obviously, within the walls of our hospital. You've known that McCormick Place has been set up, but really we haven't had a need for that, which is good because we're keeping patients in the community where they live. So that's most important.
Let's hope things keep going in the right direction. Dr. Kevin Most, thanks as always. We look forward to our house call again next Monday morning. Have a good week.
You got it, Bob. Take care.
Yep, you too.